My guest at this time is House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price. He represents Georgia's 6th Congressional District. He's a Republican, and he joins me now to talk about very concerning statistics being reported widely this week about the cost of premium increases in the healthcare sector, particularly in the individual marketplace, but elsewhere in addition to that. And we also want to get his response to President Obama defending the healthcare law and saying only a few minor tweaks are needed. We obviously want to get the congressman's thoughts on what he thinks would improve the system as well, something we've done with him a number of times. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks so much, Greg. Wonderful to be back with you.
Let's start with the facts here. The Wall Street Journal reported earlier this week that a handful of states are in the individual marketplace are seeing premiums on average rise north of 30%, a bunch more states north of 20%. Some specific insurers are well over 50%. One in New Mexico was up close to 100% increase. So what do those numbers tell us about the state of the healthcare system?
Well, it looks like the average premium increase for 2017 is going to be around 30% nationwide. And this was all predictable and was predicted by us. The fact of the matter is that you can't set up a healthcare system the way that the president and his administration and his partners have done and expect that these costs aren't going to rise significantly. So this is where we are right now, and the challenge is that we've got more and more individuals who are being priced out of the market, not because the healthcare is so expensive, but it's because the cost of coverage is so expensive. So this needs major fixing, and we believe once again that there are positive solutions, and we look forward to working on those after the first of the year when we have a new president to work with.
Let me get your thoughts on a few things President Obama said on Thursday in his speech down in Miami in defense of the healthcare system. First, we'll talk about his version of the facts here. This is what he had to say about people who have employer-based plans but still feel like things are going negatively for them.
Now, some people may say, well, I've seen my co-pays go up or my networks have changed. But these are decisions that are made by your employers. It's not because of Obamacare. They're not determined by the Affordable Care Act.
And then when it comes to the individual marketplace, whether it's a matter of fewer insurance companies being willing to be part of the marketplace or the rise of premiums, he had this to say.
Although the marketplaces are working well in most of the states, there are some states where there's still not enough competition between insurers. So if you only have one insurer, they may decide we're going to jack up rates because we can, because nobody else is offering a better price. In those states where the governor or legislature is hostile to the ACA, it makes it harder to enroll people because the state is not actively participating in outreach.
So, Mr. Chairman, it's according to the president, it's not the law that's the problem. The problem is insurance companies are getting greedy in certain cases, and states where governors and legislatures don't want to expand Medicaid, they're somehow discouraging people to sign up for insurance through the marketplace. So what's your reaction to that?
Well, this is just so sad, Greg, because the fact of the matter is that what the president says just isn't true. Employers have changed what they're providing in terms of health coverage because they're being required to change with the employer mandate what they have to offer their employees for health coverage. So this is a direct result of Obamacare or the ACA, contrary to what the president says. He's living in a parallel universe that simply is fiction. In terms of the exchanges, Obamacare, the ACA, has virtually destroyed the individual and small group market. We've got a third of the counties in this country where there's only one choice on the exchange. That's not a choice if you only have one health coverage plan that you can select. And these consequences are a direct result of the rules and the regulations and the requirements put forward in Obamacare. So, as I say, he's living in just a fantasy world if he doesn't believe that there are fundamental, foundational problems with this law. And many, many individuals in Washington understand and appreciate this, including some on his side of the aisle, who I have spoken with, and they've been reluctant to change any of this while he's in office. So I'm looking forward to getting to work in a positive way, in a productive way, to bring about what you and I have talked about on multiple occasions, and that's patient-centered health care, where patients and families and doctors are making these decisions and not the federal government.
What's your reaction, Mr. Chairman, when he constantly says, and he said it in the speech again on Thursday, that Republicans don't have an alternative?
Yeah, it's just painful to listen to it because it's patently untrue. And the president knows this. We've not only had alternatives, we've had multiple alternatives. But in the past 6 months, what the Republican conference in the House has done is come forward with a very specific alternative that we believe would be appropriate when you repeal and replace Obamacare. I urge folks to go take a peek at it. It's at better, BETTER.GOP, better.GOP. And it's very expansive in what it covers in terms of the healthcare system and what the vision that we put forward for healthcare, again, that puts patients and families and doctors in charge and not Washington, D.C. And I'm not sure why the president continues with this demagoguery. It seems to be his stock and trade, which is so unproductive because we have been offering repeatedly for years alternatives and positive alternatives and common sense solutions to the challenges that he has put before the American people in the area of healthcare.
You mentioned the president's demagoguery. We'll get to one more clip of that a little bit later on. But I know, sir, you can't go line by line through an entire replacement bill. But what are some of the key principles, key policies that you're highlighting as part of this alternative health care plan that you would like to see advanced if the current one could be repealed?
Yeah, flexibility is a key. We must absolutely provide flexibility for patients all across this land so that they're the ones who are choosing who treats them, where they're treated, when, and how, and the like. And that flexibility does not exist now. We need flexibility for the folks providing the care, for the doctors providing the care. They need to be the ones that are working with their patients and deciding what kind of treatment is needed for a specific diagnosis. We believe that everybody ought to gain health coverage, but we believe that they ought to gain the kind of coverage that they want to purchase for themselves and for their family, not that the government forces you to buy. And so we have a very specific proposal for tax credits or refundable credits or advanceable refundable credits based upon age for every single American that would make it so that there's financial feasibility for every single American to purchase the kind of coverage that that they want. I've got an expansive and broadening list of opportunities for HSAs, health savings accounts, high deductible catastrophic plans. So many young people today, the millennials, have looked at Obamacare and then looked at the penalties and said, goodness gracious, it makes more sense for me financially because I'm young and healthy to take the penalty. Don't enter into Obamacare. The president's solution for that is to throw more money at them as opposed to actually solve the problem, which is to provide the kind of coverage that young people want and need. And for so many of them, it's a high-deductible catastrophic plan with a health savings account. They were working so well before, and the president's plan turned everything on its head and, as I said, destroyed the individual and small group market. We also believe it's imperative to have lawsuit abuse reform. We've got to make certain that physicians are able to continue to practice the kind of medicine and health care that they believe is the right thing to do as opposed to what the government dictates to them they must do. So all sorts of wonderful solutions. Better.GOP is the site, and I urge people to take a peek at it. There's a one-page summary, a three-page summary, and then if you want to dig down into the 40-page specifics, you're more than welcome to do so. And we encourage you to do that and then get back with us. Let us know what you think about the plan that we've proposed.
Two quick questions before we let you go, sir. First of all, obviously in 2012, this was a huge campaign issue. Are you surprised or maybe even a bit disappointed at how little attention and specifics it's gotten on the presidential level this year?
Yeah, both surprised and disappointed. Surprised because, as I mentioned at the beginning, and you highlighted, and that is the increasing premiums and the increasing deductibles, the costs, out-of-pocket costs that men and women across this country are seeing, and they're voicing their concerns about it, and it's not being talked about in the presidential. And disappointed because this is one of the most important issues to the American people. When they prioritize what issues are of great concern to them, economy and jobs is always right up there, certainly national security, but health care, and their ability to provide the kind of health care and health coverage for their families that they believe is most appropriate is right up there at the top of the list. And so it needs to be talked about because the differing visions of the two candidates couldn't be more clear.
Don't want to belabor the point, Mr. Chairman, but you mentioned the president's rhetoric throughout this debate. Here's what he had to say about why Republicans, he believes, are really opposed to Obamacare.
So what's the problem? Why is there still such a fuss? Well, part of the problem is the fact that a Democratic president named Barack Obama passed the law. And that's just the truth. I mean, I worked really, really hard to engage Republicans.
How do you react to that? How do you find common ground in the wake of a comment like that?
Oh, you can't with this fellow. I mean, it's just delusional. And again, it's so very, very sad. You may remember that when he was putting forth his bill, I was the chairman of the Republican Study Committee at that time. We came forward with our alternative even before Obamacare was introduced. We reached out to the administration and to the White House every single week for over a year, every single week, reached out simply asking for a meeting to talk about the kinds of solutions that we believe would be helpful for the plan that he was working on. We never got any response from the administration, and so we were rebuffed at every single turn. Again, he's absolutely delusional with this, and it's just so deceitful for him to lay that line out to the American people once again. It's not because it's a Democrat plan. It's not because it was put forward by Barack Obama. We oppose the plan because it doesn't work for people. It doesn't work for patients.
Mr. Chairman, we'll let you go there. Thanks so much for your time today. Stay safe on the campaign trail, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Greg. Take care.
You bet, sir. House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price represents Georgia's 6th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.